Diabetes Breakthrough.
We need the law because the federal government's not enforcing the law.
It's unjust.
This law is certainly constitutional.
All right, is it constitutional or not? The Supreme Court will decide. We're talking about Arizona and illegal immigration. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. What an hour we have for you. Talking a little bit about the High Court's ultimate decision. It will have a rippling effect across the nation. There are other states in play here and others who want to play with the same law. My handicappers tell me it looks like the constitutionality of the law will be upheld, that it will stay. So every state is watching to see what's going to happen. Arizona's tough, what's been described as a tough immigration law, to see if it stands up and will ultimately be enforced, or does it disintegrate. I've told this story before quickly. I will say it at the beginning to relate it to Arizona. I had two very, very good friends, one who lived, and they're still good friends, by the way. They lived in Phoenix and lived in Mesa, which are all right around the same area, and said it had gotten so ugly, so awful in Phoenix that they weren't going to live there anymore. So they got out of Arizona because there were lots of problems with illegals, lots and lots of problems. Now, this law that we're talking about didn't mean that you had police that were going to be able to run around the street and just round up people, although it was being portrayed that way. I asked a ton of people on this show that we had as guests in law enforcement and otherwise what would happen if it was enforced. There are charges that it would be, oh, it's racist and this is profiling and how can you do that to people who are stopped for some kind of a traffic violation and then go after them. Well, I think SB 1070 could have worked, especially because they were training the officers to do it correctly. Could it have gone awry? Could there have been some problems with some cases? Of course, I don't have a crystal ball. Nothing is perfect, but I think Arizona was on the right path. They're drowning in problems because of the illegal crossings, and nobody is helping them. A little bit from the feds, but not enough. Not enough. So much so that it is very, very dangerous. You know what the number two places for kidnappings are? Mexico and Arizona. What does that tell you? Oh, let's kidnap some rich kid and let's hold them for ransom, get that money, because of course they're going to pay. I've talked about this before. They call them rape trees. What happens is some of the women that come over are raped and killed by the coyotes who are taking their money to take them across the border. They take the money and they take something else. And the rape trees have ripped clothes thrown in the trees. That's why they call them rape trees. But nobody wants to talk about that or address that. That's what the governor, Jan Brewer, is dealing with. This isn't a Democrat or a Republican issue. This is a humane thing. How do we let this go on and nothing happens? Because Arizona can't police it. They're doing what they can, but there aren't enough ways to police it. That was behind SB 1070. Not hunting down people in the street with nets and just throwing them across the border. That wasn't what was going to happen here. And I believe that. I believe with the right kind of people in place, they would have had a good shot at making this law work and pick up the slack where the federal folks weren't doing anything, weren't helping states like Arizona. But the key thing is the constitutionality. Can the state law stand, or does it get trumped by the federal law? My insiders looking for the tell signs, once again, say the government case is incredibly weak. For some reason, and this is a good thing in this case because of how I want to see this law go, the government lawyer, once again, did not do well in front of the Supremes. I don't understand, but whoever they're picking is not, it's not working. It blew up the first time with health care, and now it's blowing up again with this immigration challenge. But who's to say? I certainly do not have the complete inside road to the Supremes. Really, nobody does. They're tighter than a drum there. So ultimately, the ruling will come out probably in June. They might space it out and have it come out before the health care decision is handed down. And both of these have effects on every single one of us, everybody who's listening to the show. And there may be somebody listening who thinks that I'm flat out wrong, that it is racist, and how could I suggest that? I did get an email from a guy named Buddy who said, "Dear Ms. Delaney, I really enjoy your show. In fact, I know that you speak a little Spanish, and I'm shocked at the way you feel about the Arizona law. You're a smart woman. Somebody must be forcing you, jamming your throat in the direction of the trough of the Republican Party to drink the Kool-Aid of this idiocy, because it absolutely does trample on rights." And my answer to that is, you're right. It tramples on the rights of people who are in our country illegally and partaking in everything that they can possibly get from this country. And why not? If I'm struggling and I'm in Mexico and I'm going to roll the dice, take the chance, get more money for my family, my cousin tells me there's a job, they're letting me in, I'm coming in, absolutely. But it's costing every single one of us. It's costing us at least $1,000 a year in what you're paying for your health care premium. It's costing you in the schools. It's costing you in your communities. And lots of the people that are listening to the show, if you live in a border state especially, I guarantee I can trace it back for you. I had a conversation off the record with somebody at a big hospital in Dallas, Parkland Hospital. And I think people know the main story, that at one point they sent a check to Felipe Calderon for $10 million in money that was owed because of all the people who were from Mexico that Parkland Hospital had treated for free because they had no insurance. They were from Mexico and they were in the country illegally. And of course, Calderon would brush that off in a heartbeat and then attack America for what Americans are doing and what they're saying, especially in Arizona, about this law that never kicked in, by the way, in 2010, because it was immediately shut down by the feds. So we'll talk about the Supreme Court decision, where you think it might go and what the Arizona law does. Plus, coming up, a conversation with Homer Hickam. You know that name, Homer Hickam? Guy is smart as a whip. 12 best sellers. He worked for NASA. He was a scientist for NASA. He wrote a book that ultimately was turned into a movie called Rocket Boys. Jake Gyllenhaal, if you remember, it's October Skies. He starred in it, along with, I think, Owen Wilson was in that movie too. But he has a great take on what's going on with the space program and where we're headed in the future. And he's got a new book out. Hang with us.
You may snicker when you hear this message, but you won't laugh after you experience the best-kept health secret ever, Camel Milk. Camel Milk is loaded with health benefits far superior to other milk. Camel Milk has antibacterial, antiviral, and anti-tumor properties, is rich in B vitamins, and Camel Milk is 3 times higher in vitamin C than cow's milk, and 10 times higher in iron. And Camel Milk contains 52 units of insulin-like proteins per liter, effectively lowering blood sugar levels. Many of our members testified that drinking Camel Milk reversed diabetes and greatly improved autism. Camel Milk is easily digested by those who are lactose and beta casein intolerant, and comes fresh or frozen from your trusted local family farm, shipped on dry ice to preserve freshness. Go to CamelMilkForSale.com now and look under Products and Pricing for the Spring Special with free bonus pints. That's CamelMilkForSale.com CamelMilkForSale.com.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
Welcome back to the show, Homer Hickam. You know him. Yep, 12 best-selling books. He's got a new one out called Crater. Crater, so interesting. I read it in one sitting. Hickam, as many of you know, is a former NASA engineer. As I've mentioned many times on the show, one of my favorite movies is October Sky. That came from his book, Rocket Boys. And now he's got this new book that's about mining helium-3 on the moon. And let me tell you, the name is brilliant, and we'll get into that for a reason. But first, let's welcome him to the show. Hey, Homer, thanks for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me, Kate. I know what you're up to. You're just angling for an introduction to Jake Gyllenhaal.
That's right, exactly. How did you guess? Ooh.
I'm wise to you, lady.
Before we dive into Crater, I wanted to ask you this question because you and I talk about NASA a lot, and I'm a space freak, so I was so sad to see the shuttle program go down. Not so much that the shuttle program went down, but also that there was nothing in the wings. What is going on? Space exploration is so important. Why don't people get that?
I think people do. I mean, maybe I live in a little bubble of space enthusiasts, but wherever I go, I mean, people are just still really enthusiastic about going into space, especially young people. As far as I can tell, the federal government has just decided that human spaceflight is not very important to them, and they're the ones that's closing it down. It just doesn't make sense to me. And I'm not just blaming this administration. It's been several administrations that have looked out and said, we'll throw a little bit of money toward human spaceflight, but it's just not a national priority. And I think they're so wrong. I mean, it very definitely, the shuttle was a national asset, and to just stick it in a museum and not have anything to take its place is just crazy.
Yeah, that's the part I think. I mean, great when I go, on the Intrepid and I get to see it, but that doesn't do us any good. And now we're hitching expensive rides with the Russians.
Yeah, a couple of $100 million, no matter what they say, is what it's what they're charging us for the astronauts. Yeah, you know, Kate, I have one hope, one great hope, and that's a little company that can that's founded by my buddy Elon Musk called SpaceX. Those guys, those rocket boys and rocket girls, on their own dime, have created a set of launchers that the Falcon series that are, is actually going to throw up a cargo carrier to the space station next month. It's a test, but I think they got a good chance of succeeding. And they've also got the Dragon capsule that can carry our astronauts into space. But it's just astonishing what Americans can do if you let them go do it. But the poor folks over at NASA are just being suppressed and given all kinds of poor management and not very very good direction in terms of human spaceflight. Robotically, we're still, you know, world class, universal class, if you will. But human spaceflight is just falling on its face over at NASA.
Yeah, I agree with you. Let's talk about your book. In the book, you know, it's all about mining energy or mining helium. And, you know, I like science fiction. Obviously, this is your bag, too, and you mix it in with an entertaining story. But here's the thing. This isn't that far-fetched. This could really happen, couldn't it?
It really could. I mean, helium-3 is what they're mining up on the moon in Crater, and Crater's a 16-year-old boy, and he's actually has worked on the scrapes, as they call the mine up there, for 4 years. There's no child labor laws on the moon. But helium-3 is a real isotope that's a product of the solar wind. It doesn't reach Earth because of our atmosphere and magnetic field, but it is soaked into the moon dust. And helium-3 turns out to be the perfect fuel for fusion reactors. Now, we have a serious shortage of fusion reactors, but eventually I believe that technology will be tamed. And fusion, if you want clean energy, if you're really interested in that, a mass driver, wind and solar is never going to do it, in my opinion, but fusion would do it. And so that's what I'm predicting in Crater, that 120 years from now, there are going to be mining communities all over the moon, and somebody said it's Homer, it's Coalwood on the moon, and you know, where I grew up in West Virginia, and I guess it kind of is, except maybe a lot more like the Wild West and the raw frontier.
Yeah, I like that idea of fusion. Of course, you and I won't be around for that, but can you imagine what that would be like? Because I think I agree with you, that's a real possibility. How exciting would that be? What a game changer!
It would be a tremendous game changer, and of course, I think the great next scientific breakthrough is going to be in bioscience, and that's why Crater has a biological computer that sits on his shoulder called a ghillie. It's made out of slime mold cells, which is very interesting stuff. It's real stuff. And so we're going to have some interesting choices in the future. I really wish I was going to live long enough to see it, where we will have actually biological computers rather than the ones made out of the silicon and aluminum and plastic. And what do you do when a new biocomputer comes out and that computer is actually a sentient being? What do you do with it?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Throw it away.
Yeah. What do you? Is there a home, someplace you put them? I mean, what do you do exactly? Where do they pile up? It's crazy to think of that. And you obviously, I mean, this is part of your background, but you do a lot of research. When you get an idea, how long does? And I know every book's different. It's like giving birth, essentially. But how long is it from start to finish?
Well, I like to have deadlines, Kate, and so I make the publisher give me a deadline, and they're happy to do that, so it pushes me. It took me about a year to write Crater. I had to do a lot of background research. I wanted to make sure, not only was I going to tell a good story, but I wanted to make sure that the technology in there was correct, and everything that I said about the moon was correct, and what it's like to live in 1/6 gravity was correct, and how you avoid radiation on the moon, and all this kind of good stuff that I felt like that I needed to learn and understand before I actually wrote the novel. So I did quite a bit of research on that. The second one, actually Crater is the first of a trilogy, the Helium 3 trilogy. So the second one's going a lot quicker because I know the characters now. I know Crater and Gilly and his brother and Maria and all these other characters in there. For the second one, it's going a lot faster, and I know my publisher is happy to hear that.
So we talked about, so it's a trilogy, and we talked about this, that if somebody reads the book, if one of the youngsters, like my nephew, reading the book, they'll learn about fusion energy, they'll learn about fuel cells, because we already talked about that, bioengineering, also huge, you mentioned that. What about the sports, like moon buggy races? You have that in there, too.
That was so much fun. I mean, I think kids that like the sports that are, say, in Harry Potter are going to love the sports in 1/6 gravity. Can you imagine? You're 6 times stronger. You can jump 6 times higher and 6 times farther and can run 6 times faster. It's just so I created there's 2 sports in there. One of them is moon buggy racing, or fast bug as I call it there. And can you imagine? You're going up the lip of a crater and you just soar into the vacuum. There's no air there, so you don't go into air, but you're catching vacuum, and you may crash at the other end. And so I think it makes a great video game. And the other one is the shovel ball, where it's actually in an enclosed stadium where they take the shovels that they're out there shoveling the dust in the helium-3 mine, and they've got a ball, and it's a really high stakes game, and it's a really a fast game where they're actually running up the walls and running on the ceiling and all that kind of good stuff. So that was fun to invent these games, and I think what I'm hoping to do with this, Kate, is that young adults, kids, will read this book and say, "Wow, you know, I think I'd like to go live on the moon. And maybe I'll get into science and engineering, and maybe help all of us go out there." So that's one of the reasons why I wanted to write a young adult novel.
I'm wondering if you ever had a conversation with James Cameron, because, you know, this is part of his deal. Besides diving to the deepest place you could possibly ever get to, which he did, and, you know, all the exploration and his obsession with Titanic, which he says now he's passed on to, you know, to whoever wants to take it up next. He also likes the idea of the same thing. Asteroid mining is kind of his bag. Have you ever had a conversation with him? Boy, I'd love to be a fly on the wall with that one.
I would love it. No, I haven't, but I really respect what he's done with his diving. You know, I'm a scuba instructor, so I would have loved to have been invited to go down to the deepest part of the ocean with him and all the other adventurous stuff that he's done, and he's obviously an out-of-the-box thinker. I certainly like the idea of going up and mining the asteroids. I think maybe it'd be a lot easier to just go to the moon. It's at least you have some gravity there where you don't have with the asteroids. And what I would suggest to James Cameron and the other folks who are talking about creating a company that goes up and mines the asteroid is that they might want to get a mining engineer on their advisory council. I didn't see one mining engineer. And when you start going up and playing in the dirt, I don't care if it's on the moon or the asteroid or anywhere else, you better understand a little bit about mining.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. Homer Hickam, Crater, the name of the book. It's terrific. I'm serious. Pick it up. You will love it. Definitely gift it to a lot of the younger people in your life. But yeah, it's a good read for really adults, too. Absolutely. Homer, thanks so much.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 Organic Soil Conditioner, Fertilizer Amendment, and Compost Accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
$4, $5, $6, even $7 a gallon? According to fuel industry insiders and economic experts, those are the forecasted fuel prices, with no end in sight. Fight back fuel prices with a fuel saver from AirFusionSystems.com. These fuel savers can save you from 20 to 40%. They're designed to fit any vehicle, from compacts to SUVs to transport trucks. The fuel saver works on all gas, diesel, even propane engines. Easy do-it-yourself installation in about 15 minutes. And the best part? No engine modifications, no computer chipping, no running wires, no chemicals, no water, no running costs, and no maintenance. And these fuel savers come complete with all parts and accessories. See how it works at AirFusionSystems.com, spelled AirFusion Systems.com. Or call 888-887-9981. 888-887-9981. Fuel savers from airfusionsystems.com. Save fuel, save money, save earth.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock, save you money, and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Crank up your savings at the Webb's headquarters for hand crank and solar power preparedness. 21stCenturyGoods.com. Save now on solar generators from $289. Solar lanterns, just $24.95. Solar waterproof flashlights, only $12.95. Cook anywhere solar ovens from $279.95. Portable solar panels from 21stCenturyGoods.com give you the freedom to harness the power of the sun to charge your gear wherever you go. Show your patriotism with our line of solar flagpole lights. Plus, find a full line of emergency and shortwave radios, solar lanterns, and LED flashlights. And see our monthly two-for-one specials at 21stCenturyGoods.com. Spelled the number two, the number one, ST, CenturyGoods.com. Or call 866-999-8422. Spend $100 or more and get a free hand crank solar flashlight when you mention you heard us on GCN at checkout. Crank up your savings only at 21stCenturyGoods.com.
Conversation with Homer Hickam talking about space and how the space program is essentially mothballed. The Space Coast is toast in some ways. So many people saw their livelihoods, boom, gone in an instant, and we've got nothing, as we said there, in the background. There was nothing waiting. It was like, okay, the shuttle's dead, we got to hitch a ride, we got to do something else. And so you have now the, and you heard me mention it there, that James Cameron is one of the people who wants to mine asteroids. So conquering space, the next frontier perhaps for him. But space is not that far off limits for some. You heard Homer talk about SpaceX, and you got Microsoft in the game, Paul Allen, Richard Branson, and Jeff Bezos from Amazon. They're all jumping into this looking for maybe money, adventure, something, sending people off, building rockets, that kind of thing, to launch the payloads ultimately for NASA or other private groups or maybe even the Pentagon. So you got a planetary, this is the name of the group, Planetary Resources, Inc. It's a startup that's backed by James Cameron, the Google billionaires, and also a few other people have thrown in on this. And they're announcing that, and they have announced, that they are going to do what seems sci-fi-ish, that they're going to mine asteroids. They're going to harvest asteroids. And why would they do that? Well, think about it. Iron, platinum, nickel, zinc, aluminum, gold, water, all that kind of stuff. So what is plentiful in space? What do we know is plentiful in space from what we learned during some of those missions? The things that I just mentioned. What if you could put your hands on that stuff? Man, that would be tons, trillions, countless money that would be pumped into the economy, probably the global economy, knowing how they're going. So that's what Planetary Resources believes. If you have a quarry that's millions of miles from the Earth, you can blast as much as you want. You can dig as much as you want. And you don't have to worry about environmental regulations or any kind of noise ordinances either that wouldn't come into play. So imagine. And it's not a new, it's not something new. The concept isn't new. It's been suggested before because there are maybe a million or so near-Earth asteroids that have drifted from the belt and they say have a stable solar orbit around it or closer to us. So if you think about that, think of the targets you would have. Think of the targets. I think they're going to do it for sure. I mean, they need a lot of money, but I think they're going to do it. You know how much they've kicked in? And you know who else is involved in this? A guy who I brought up as somebody who had big ears and people thought he was a kook when he said some of his business ideas when he was running for president, Ross Perot. His son, Ross Perot Jr., Larry Page, have all kicked in. They kicked in about $50 billion for Planet Resources. And they've got 25 engineers already. They got some NASA vets who worked at the Jet Propulsion Lab on the Mars missions. So think of what they know. So it might be ambitious, but I don't doubt that they're gonna be able to come up with something. They're looking at these prospecting robots to sample the targets, and then they're looking at extractors. So get that stuff out of there. Within 24 months from today, really, is what we're talking about. SpaceX, too. That's the other thing. I think it's fascinating that space is going to become, I don't know what, it's going to become privatized. So the next frontier, if you have a few dollars, you might want to go and put it in to mine the asteroids because who knows what you'll get in return. Anyway, that was just a quick follow-up to that. Here on the planet Earth, Arizona and the immigration law that never really kicked in 2010 is on trial finally, because the Supremes heard oral arguments, and this is big because it has a big-time effect on the rest of the states who are interested in doing the same thing. And the core question is, should states really be allowed to pass whatever immigration policy they want? Should they be able to do that? I say, the reason I say yes, and I'm for state rights anyway, but the reason I'm like Jeffersonian in my approach, because let the states do in this case what they need to do. If the federal government can't do the basic things, the feds aren't stepping up, then they have to do it. How do they protect the people in their states? How do they keep the state's budget balanced? Some people say it's all up to the feds. Jan Brewer, the governor of Arizona, said this about protecting that state.
Arizona has a right, and I, as governor, I felt, was somewhat ensured that I had a right to protect the citizens of Arizona.
All right, I think she calls them like she sees them, and how she just described that is why she went forward and decided that she was going to fight tooth and nail everything that she could to see this be passed, because she believes she's got to worry about the people there. How about Congressman Luis Gutierrez, a Democrat from Illinois? He completely disagrees, says it's wrong, says it's racist, says it shouldn't even exist.
We need comprehensive immigration reform in this country and not laws that treat the thousands and millions of Latinos as suspects in the very nation they give their lives for.
All right, so illegal immigrants, do you believe what the congressman is saying, giving their lives for this? Shouldn't they get some sort of amnesty, a big-time reform? Isn't that the way to go versus the other way and leveling some enforcement on the people? I mean, here's the thing. I said this already, and I'm going to go back to this. Based on my conversations, based on what I know, based on what I believe to be how this law would be enforced, I think that you can, you know, when you're stopping somebody, I mean, maybe it's me, but I always feel like I have to give blood anyway. I'm handing over my license. I'm handing over my stuff. Think about it when you get stopped. Oh, a busted taillight. Oh, something's wrong with the front. What, for whatever reason, were you speeding? What do you expect? So think about it. Somebody stops a car. They're not shadowing them. They're not tracking them down. They're not tracking a person down in a car or a group of people. I really think that this was just an easy out. It's easy to just attack Arizona, do the whole name-calling thing. I really believe that what they were trying to do in Arizona is come up with a solution to a very bad problem, one that is crippling to that state, killing education, killing the money in the state, the surpluses that they have. I mean, is it true? It's like George Lopez, who can be so hilarious in a stand-up, and he says he does a whole thing on this, a whole riff. He does, in fact, a couple of sets on it where he says, listen, we do the jobs you don't want, like, you know, makes several jokes about it. And is that true anymore? Does that really hold up? We know that part of the reason that we're in this quandary in the first place is because businesses took advantage and they weren't going to pay what they should have been paying. So they were able to pay less money. But yet, if you're in a country that's a third world country and you're making no money and you've got family and you got to send money back, or you think that's definitely the road to go versus living in the squalor, then you take the chance and you come over because people are telling you there's this, 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 and this in your family or your friends or from the same town that you're from. That's what happened. And it just grew and grew and grew and grew and then ultimately became what it is today, out of control. I think the numbers are bogus. I think the numbers are much higher than ultimately we're fed. And we don't know. There's no exact count, if you will. There's no accounting here. And I already went through my whole song and dance of people who are waiting in line, people who have spent money on attorneys, people who are doing whatever they can to make it happen, and they never get that opportunity, or they get that opportunity, but they have spent a ton to make it happen. And they really, really want it, so they're willing to do it and go through legal channels. What does it say to them if you were to wave the magic wand and throw out an amnesty for people that are already here? I don't see how that works. I mean, we really are at a rock and a hard place, because I don't see any compromise on this. And that's why there hasn't been, that's why it's been talked about, that's why it gets shelved. I don't even know, honestly, in my lifetime, it's very safe to say that we see any kind of a conclusion to this, because I think it just keeps getting passed and passed. It's easier to ignore it than to have to attack it. Just talk about it when you have to, when you're running, when it makes sense, but otherwise completely ignore it. All right, coming up here on America Tonight, you know, we like to do the numbers thing so we can count. It includes that 83% say that we're still in a recession, so that's your big number. Also, what's up with this latest poll where Obama and Romney are already tied? Find out next. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
BePrepared.com is making deals in April because you need to be prepared now and you need to save. BePrepared.com is the official site of Emergency Essentials, a 24-year leader in emergency preparedness supplies. Everything from long-term food storage to emergency kits, water storage and filtration to alternative light and heat sources. What's on sale? Now through Monday, save 28% on a freeze-dried garden vegetable combo, which includes peas, corn, beans, cauliflower, celery, and onions. Save 33% on the Katadyn Hiker Micro Filter, new instant white rice as low as $8.49, and a 72-hour MRE food and water supply, a $72 value for only $49.99, and much more at BePrepared.com. Call 800-999-1863 to experience exceptional customer service and our low price guarantee. That's 800-999-1863. Hurry, the BePrepared.com April sale ends next Monday. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.
Love gardening but don't love seeing your hard work destroyed by wildlife? Then use the number one most effective deer and rabbit repellent you can buy, PlantSkid. PlantSkid repellent protects gardens, trees, and landscaping by emitting an odor that browsing animals associate with predators. So animals avoid plants before they nibble, not after. PlantSkid is made in the U.S. from non-toxic, 100% organic, environment, and pet-friendly ingredients. Other repellents wash off in the rain. Not PlantSkid. It's guaranteed to outlast all other repellents. PlantSkid was the first animal repellent to be OMRI listed organic, and now comes in liquid spray, powder concentrate, or easy-to-use granular. Just sprinkle around your garden. For proven protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents, use PlantSkid. Member tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Find a dealer near you at PlantSkid.com. That's PlantSkydd.com. Ask about our new vole repellent when you call 800-252-6051. That's 800-252-6051. PlantSkid. Proven plant protection, guaranteed or your money back.
Let's start with the Fox News poll. I know, you can look at polls through a lot of different eyes, but here's what this poll says, that Obama and Romney are tied. Majority of voters say neither has plans to fix the economy, though. How about that? Romney topped Obama by 2 percentage points earlier in the month. Now it's switched around. They're pretty much dead even. So this national poll came out on Hump Day, as we are now into Thursday, and it found that Obama and the presumptive Republican nominee, Romney, each are at 46%. If the election were held today, women are likely to back Obama 47 to 42%, while men back Romney over Obama 49 to 45%. Working moms support Obama 55 to 32%. Independents give the advantage to Romney by 13%. We could twist these numbers in a lot of different ways, but the key thing here is, it's interesting that it comes up too close to call at this point. And we'll see that. We'll track that along the way. There is something to the polling thing. Trust me, no matter how you think the poll slants, there's a reason I say it. There's a reason why polls hold up and ultimately can shed a little bit of light onto what's going on out there, and pollsters make a whole lot of money. People are not going to pay them to look into their crystal ball by getting results and crunching numbers if they are off course all the time. That's how you know that there has to be something to it, that it must be working. TSA screeners in Los Angeles are definitely working. They're working for themselves, making a lot of dough, or some of them were anyway, by letting coke fly through and turning an eye while it went through. In other words, people who had it in containers and were going through the checkpoints, they knew, they timed it out and let it happen and made money on the side because the drug dealers were paying them to look the other way. So there, it looks like there's four people implicated in this in LAX. And can I say I'm just not surprised by that whatsoever. So they're getting it. Sometimes they were getting $2,400 for just one little hit, so to speak, letting someone go through. Okay, look for the man in the hats with the shades and the alligator bag. Let him go through. Let him open up his bag, but don't check out. And they must have had a good system down, because how could you do that? Somebody would have to be looking at, one of them would have to be looking at what was coming through and say it's okay. Could be. Pretty risky, though. So they were pinched, and that's why it was easy to fall through the holes. Connecticut decided to abolish the death penalty for people listening to me in the great state of Connecticut. This now makes Connecticut the 17th state to do so. And what has happened in some cases, like this DA in Dallas, for example, with DNA evidence, he's found plenty of people that were on death row who were shouting their innocence but did not have, were thrown to the wolves. And now the DNA evidence proves it couldn't be them for various crimes, and they have gotten out. So the concern is, I think, twofold. One is, having the wrong person set to be executed. And the other is because some people feel as though it is just not workable, that it's not workable to do that, and it doesn't make any sense. So the governor, Daniel Malloy, signed the bill into law and abolishes the death penalty. As I said, they're number 17 to do it. It's effective immediately, and it doesn't apply to people already sentenced to death. If it replaces... The death penalty is replaced with life in prison without the possibility of parole, and that's now the highest form of punishment in Connecticut. Pretty historic for that state. And it's, I think it's sobering more than anything else. They said it, the governor said it had just been an abomination of what was happening, and they didn't think it was very workable for that state. Capital punishment has existed there since the colonial days, but they reviewed the laws beginning in 72 when a Supreme Court decision required something a little more consistent in applying it. So then they had a moratorium until 1976. That was from the High Court. And then it went back again because they upheld the constitutionality of capital punishment. You might be curious about this. Connecticut juries have handed down 15 death sentences since then. Only one person has been executed. Michael Ross, a convicted serial killer, was put to death by lethal injection in 2005. He voluntarily gave up his appeals. Connecticut has 11 people on death row. 11 people on death row. And what is it costing the taxpayers, which is what the argument is, how many appeals, how long is this taking, all that kind of stuff, how it makes no sense to keep capital punishment. From my point of view, capital punishment could be a deterrent, but more than a deterrent, because I think that's hard to prove. I think it is justice for victims and families with some of the heinous, outrageous things that have happened in different cases. Think of the Connecticut woman, and this was a death penalty thing, of course, they will be executed. The Connecticut woman and her two daughters who were burned, raped, the whole thing, by two scum who followed them home from the market and were released from prison and went after this family and terrorized them, and it became, of course, made national news because it was so sickening what had happened there, and they both were given the death penalty. Well, that would stand, and I believe that that is justice for the families, for the father who was left behind while all this happened to his family, and he couldn't do anything. They beat him to within an inch of his life, and he crawled over to the neighbors, but they couldn't do anything to save. By the time the cops came and everything else, they couldn't do anything to save the rest of the family. And imagine living through that. So from my point of view, that's what I look at. I look at that as being fair. I look at that as a just sentence for what that crime was. But a lot of people don't agree with me. That's why you've seen things flip in the last 5 years. Jersey, New Mexico, Illinois, New York, they've all repealed the death penalty. California, the voters there are going to decide in November what to do, whether or not they'll repeal it or not. I wouldn't be surprised if they did. So more than a deterrent, because I don't know if it's a deterrent, that was part of the reason for establishing it in the first place. I think it's something it signifies to me. We hear you, victim. This is wrong. It should have never happened. And for this family who cannot make up this loss, who has to live with it, I don't care what psychologist you go to. I don't care what happens in someone's life. And I'm not knocking the business of psychology. It's just the truth. How can you possibly wrap your mind around a so-called normal life after something happens to you, like what happened with the man in Connecticut with his whole family being taken from him and he could do nothing about it? Hey, don't forget to check in with us at americatonight.net. I always send you to the website. Why? For a couple of different reasons. You can see me on camera the first couple of hours. Woohoo! So you get to see our interesting digs for our satellite facility. Plus, you can hook up on Facebook. We've got all kinds of contests and things that are coming up. And more importantly, things that you missed on the show when people ask me about interviews or something that happened, there's a good chance you'll find it in what you missed. And there's the weekly blogs and a whole bunch of other things when you go away. A lot of pictures of the remote sites, and we're going to start doing more video. It's just a lot of fun to go to the site. Plus, you can just go there and send me an email. And that's the reason I push so many people to the site. Because you sign up and send it, just the drop down on the email, and send it to americatonight.net. Like that. So easy. So easy, I'm telling you. Even a 10-year-old can do it. That would be my nephew, and he has done it.
You may be as smart as I am when you get to be my age, but you're not there now. So when I ask you a question, you'll give me an answer.